tonight I'm going to start with the same verse that Pastor started with this morning. And the thing that I had in my heart, I know there's been so much prayer that is being made, and it needs to be continued offered up to Him. We need to be offering our supply. But what I had in my heart was tonight we just need to hit a pause button on maybe on the praying. Thank God for prayer. It's always important. And spend more time praising. Hallelujah. Take a praise break. And remember what the Lord has done, what He is doing, and what He will continue to do. Anybody in here ever witnessed the faithfulness of God? Hallelujah. If He said it, He shall do it. And that's why we can praise Him in advance, even before we see all the manifestation of the prayers that we have been praying. But it's just a good thing to go ahead and thank the Lord in advance. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So Pastor read out of Psalm chapter 34. He read a lot of verses this morning. We won't read all of those, but I'm going to read 1 through 5 out of the Passion. And my style is kind of, we will probably stop and comment on each verse. So let's begin with Psalms 34, verse 1 in the Passion. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what You've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. Can I get a perpetual praise? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I looked that word up. Of course, I like to look up words. Perpetual. It means continuing forever, everlasting, valid all the time. There's never a time when it's not good to praise the Lord. Now, we don't praise Him for bad things, like Pastor even mentioned. We don't praise Him for hurricanes. We don't praise Him for horrible things. But even in the midst of bad situations, we can praise Him because we know He's the way out. Hallelujah. He is the way maker. So there's never a time that it's not good to praise the Lord. It's valid all the time, continuing forever. And then verse 2. I'm boasting of You and all Your works. So let all who are discouraged take heart. Not going to ask if anybody in here has been tempted to be discouraged. But if you have been, we're going to take heart tonight. Hallelujah. Because we're going to magnify Him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Amen. But when I read that, it says, I'm boasting of You and all Your works. I was reminded, you know, as a parent, when our boys were growing up, if one of them would do something good, like make the honor roll, that was miraculous. Thank God for it. Or maybe scored a winning run or winning basket in a game, or maybe had a leading role in a play. You know what? As a parent, we weren't silent about it. Maybe you remember those days when your kids were little, or your grandkids now. Not silent about it. We tell everybody about their accomplishments. What are we doing? We're boasting about them and what they have done. I mean, now when I get something word about something that one of our granddaughters has done, you know, I just feel like telling everybody I see. They may not even know me. They may not know my grandkids. But hey, let me show you a picture of my granddaughter. She just had this great role in this play. And you know, we just go on and on. If we can boast about family members and their accomplishments, what should we be doing about God? When's the last time that you really talked God up? You just boasted on Him. You couldn't stop sharing how good He's been to you, how faithful that He has been. When's the last time that you did that? Just, you know, just randomly. What if you just met a stranger and just said, you know what? Can I tell you how good my God is? And if you don't know, you need to listen to today's message and the rest of this series. It'll get you fired up. Our God is good. And we need to, in this temple, should everyone speak of His glory, speak of His goodness, but not just when we're here in church. Make it a habit to, you know, boast about God. Talk Him up. His goodness, His faithfulness. And you know what happens when you do that? Discouragement will leave. Depression will flee. You can't praise the Lord and at the same time, I'm so sad. This life is so horrible. No, when we magnify Him, when we praise Him, that other stuff becomes secondary. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And then verse 3, I love this. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. That's what we just did. Wasn't it awesome? There's something so powerful about corporate praise and corporate worship. I like that, the way it says that. Join me, everyone. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make His name famous. Let's make His name glorious to all. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that have, quote, famous names. If I mentioned their name, you'd know who it was. But nobody should be more famous than God. Amen. His name is to be declared. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let that be your testimony. Glory to God. That's what it says in verse 4. Listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. We sang about it. I sought the Lord, and what did He do? He heard me. And He answered me. And the passion, it says, that's our testimony. Anybody got that testimony? Have you ever been in a bad place in your life? You didn't know what to do, where to turn, and you just lifted your hands, you lifted your voice, and maybe all you could say is, God, help! I cried to the Lord in my distress. And what does He do? He hears, and He answers us, and He frees us from all our fears. Heard someone say this years ago. Fear will show up in every one of our lives. Fear. But if fear knocks on the door and faith answers, guess what? No one is there. Don't let fear in by thinking God can't take care of this situation. No. Hallelujah. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon Him. He is the Most High God. Nothing is too difficult for Him. And then verse 5. Gaze upon Him. Join your life with His. And joy will come. Your faces will glisten with glory. You'll never wear that shame face again. Isn't that good? Woo! Join your life with His. David, he was a seeker of God. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, he said. David was a prayer. David was a praiser. And David was full of joy. And this passage, I love how it says that. Join your life with His. Being full of joy is part of being in Him. So we want to look at some things that Jesus said, even about joy and prayer and how they go together. Over in John chapter 15, we won't take time to read all of that passage, but verses 1 through 6, the whole context is really about that He is the vine, we are the branches, and how we need to stay connected to the vine to produce fruit in our lives. And here in verse 7, out of the Amplified, it says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. I think that's a really good promise, isn't it? But where does it start? It starts with us abiding in Him and His Word abiding in us. If we want to pray prayers that get the desired end results, powerful results, they have to be based on the Word of God and on this abiding relationship in Him. The degree in which we abide affects the outflow of the power and the answers of prayer, our level of peace, and our level of joy. Now we know this, that receiving Jesus is a one-time experience, but abiding is a daily choice. We can either be vitally united. What are vital signs? They're signs that there is life there. Or we can be weak and barely connected. Yeah, we're in the family of God. Yes, we're going to heaven. But if we're just doing our own thing and just, you know, not paying any attention to Him, not giving Him first place in our life, that's not vitally united. That's like a branch on a tree, a fruit tree that maybe somebody climbed on and it's got a little crack in it and it's barely hanging on. And when harvest time comes, all the other branches are going to produce fruit. But that one that suffered some injury, that one that may have been cracked, and I know about this by experience because we used to do it on the farm, climb on the apple trees or whatever, and we're not supposed to get on the fruit trees. But if one of them cracked, or just barely broke off a little bit, it didn't look like it was not even connected, but if it wasn't getting the full source, it wasn't going to produce fruit. And there's too many Christians that are like that. That's why Jesus said you need to be vitally united to Me. In this time in which we are living, it's not time to play church. It's not time to see how much we can get away with and still be a Christian. No, it's time to make that connection even stronger than it's ever been, so that we're getting all that we need from Him. We're drawing our strength. We're drawing our peace. We're drawing our joy from Him. Amen. And I know that there's lots of joy robbers out there. But, you know, maybe you're sitting by one. Don't look at them. Don't even go there. But there's joy robbers in all of our lives. It doesn't even have to be a person. It can just be things that crop up in our life that try to steal our joy. But when we believe the Word and we are assured that He hears and He answers our prayers, joy will be evident. Amen? Yeah. Now let me just say this, but when we pray, joy needs to accompany that for sure. Let's go down to verse 11 in John chapter 15. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So in the passage we just read, He said, My words need to remain in you. In verse 7, now He's saying that My joy may remain in you. So the word remain, what does that mean? To be a part not destroyed or used up. To continue unchanged. To continue unchanged. Change, to remain steadfast, to be confident in our prayers being answered, then we need to stay connected to the Word, and that joy will remain. His joy, He said that My joy might remain in you. His joy is not contingent on what's going on in our life or what's going on in our world, what's going on in the political scene. Dear God, if you're getting your joy from there, you're pretty sad. Sad and sorrowful. No, it's His joy. And He's saying, and when you're connected to Me, My joy is going to remain in you, regardless of the situation, regardless of what's going on in your life. And that's what we all want. How many of you want to be full of joy? Joy overflowing. And He also told us this. He said this, ask that you might receive what? That your joy might be full. So when we pray and we see the answers to those prayers, that just causes that joy level to go whoop, whoop. That's why it's important to know how to pray in line with the Word of God. We don't want to misfire our prayers. We want them to be accurate. We want them to be powerful. We want them to be answered. Amen. So that our joy may be full. So right in connection with the joy of answered prayer, there's another element that's so important when we pray, and it's found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, out of the Amplified. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. In every circumstance. We already shared it. Not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance, with prayer and thanksgiving, we let our request be made known. Prayer, praise, and thanksgiving should go together like mashed potatoes and gravy. They need to accompany one another. Now, don't get hungry in here. I like mashed potatoes, but listen, I grew up where we did not have mashed potatoes without the gravy. The gravy accompanied the mashed potatoes. So when we offer our prayer, it should just be natural that right after we pray, we praise and we thank Him ahead of time for the answer. It's rude even to go to a restaurant and somebody wait on you and you put your order in. Well, it's rude not to say thank you. You know what? Sometimes you got to say thank you by faith because you're thinking, where did they go? Did they have to go kill the cow? Will they be back? But you know what I'm saying. But when you put your order in, it's polite to say thank you. What does that mean? You are expecting your meal to arrive sooner than later. You put your order in, you thank that person. Well, if we put our prayers in before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, isn't it polite? Isn't it right to just thank Him? Okay, Lord, I know You've heard and You've answered my prayer. Nothing looks like it's changed, but I'm expecting it to change. In the name of Jesus, praise accompanies our prayers. It should. Prayer plus praise. Years ago, and I don't even know where this came from, but it's not from me, but I don't know who it's from, so it's mine now. So, years ago, I saw this. It's an acrostic, I guess that's how you say it, on praise. So we want to cover some of those words in praise tonight and give you some scriptures for it. You might want to write these down before we get into the scriptures. P stands for pushes back the enemy. R releases God's power. A gives you access to the presence of God. I increases your capacity to receive from God. S sustains you in tough times. E establishes and encourages your heart. So let's expound on these just a bit tonight. Are you all good with that? Let me find a scripture I want to read. Let's first of all, P pushes the enemy back. Well, the scripture we're going to look at, it's a real wonderful, great biblical example. And it's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I will just give you the background of this. I told Pastor driving in tonight, I love Bible stories. I grew up on Bible stories. You may have grown up, you know, reading fairy tales or Disney things. That's okay. That's great. But those aren't true. This is true. I had a lot of Bible heroes when I was a kid because I loved to hear how God moved and what He did. Yay, God. Amen. So this is one of my favorite Bible stories. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And King Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, they were surrounded by a bunch of ites. I mean, I can't even say all their names, but it was not a good situation. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and I don't know, the termites, whatever. It was a bunch of them. Not good. And fear tried to grip their heart. But Jehoshaphat was an upright, godly king. And he did what we need to do when fear tries to grip us and things are surrounding us that are not of God. So we'll look at a few of these verses in verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, so that Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Again, what did we sing tonight? I sought the Lord and He heard me. And once they began to seek the Lord, the instruction was Jehoshaphat began to magnify the Lord. He told, you know, he said, this is what's going on. We're surrounded, Lord, but, you know, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's a good place to be. You may know not what to do, but don't look down. Don't look all around. Look up. That's where our help comes from. And that's what they did that day. And they magnified God. The Bible says they magnified the Lord. They worshiped Him. And while they were worshiping Him, the answer came. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a young man. It didn't even come upon the king. It came upon a young man in the congregation. And he began to prophesy. And he gave them the answer. And what he said is, you will not need to fight in this battle. He said, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. This battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Aren't you glad when you are in a battle that you don't have to win it in your own ability and in your own strength? The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that's what they did. They sought the Lord, and He gave them the answer. And the plan was revealed. Now, this plan is really interesting. The plan was this: send out the praisers first. Not the mighty warriors, but the mighty worshipers. Send out the praisers first. Can you imagine being on the worship team that day? Or perhaps you had been hoping to be on the worship team. Come on now, King Jehoshaphat and the choir director. You know I can sing. You know I can sing. Listen to me sing. And they had said, you just set yourself down. That's not your calling. But then this day, they said, okay, anybody that thinks you're a worshiper, go out in front of the army. Can you imagine some of those that thought they were worshipers going, I was just kidding. I really can't carry a tune. I'm not going to be a worshiper today. I'm sure. I mean, these are real people. Can you imagine the thoughts that went through their head? Jehoshaphat stands up and says, I got it. This is the plan. And they're thinking, okay, God's going to send His angels. God's going to do this. We got mighty warriors. The plan is, all of you singers and worshipers, you get up there in front of the army. That does not sound like a great plan in the natural. But aren't you glad? Amen. God knows exactly how to win every single battle that we face. And what did He tell them to say? I love this. He said, you go out there and you start saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Everybody lift your hands with me and let's say that together. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, when they begin to sing and praise the Lord, that the Lord God Almighty, He sent ambushments. He brought confusion into the camp of the enemy, and they killed each other. Talk about pushing the enemy back. That's what P stands for, pushed the enemy back. They got confused and confounded. They turned on one another. And then the Bible says that when the children of Israel went into the camp, this is what happened. Verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came into the camp to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies, precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. I always find this interesting that there, these guys were warriors. They were going to battle. This isn't where they lived. They had another home with their family and their wives. But that day, they brought all their jewelry with them to battle. It says they stripped away the diamond necklaces, the ruby rings, all of this stuff. I mean, the angels must have got on those guys and said, you know what? You look really fine with that big diamond necklace. Why don't you wear that into battle? Who does that? But God moved on them to bring their jewelry, hallelujah, into the camp of the enemy. And it was so much. It took Israel 3 days to carry away the spoil. It brought provision for the children of Israel. When the enemy comes after you, you ought to have this attitude. You're going to pay. You are going to pay, and you are going to return everything sevenfold what you tried to take away from me. Hallelujah. So this phrase, Dad Hagin got that. He used to say this phrase when he would teach on this story. Prayer plus praise equals more than you can carry away. That's exactly what the Bible says. 3 days, it was more than they could carry away. So when you pray in faith, when you offer praise and thanksgiving, you're going to receive more than you can carry away. We got any candidates in here for that? Hallelujah. Prayer plus praise, more than you can carry away. Now we'll just highlight the other letters. R stands for it releases God's power. There's so many stories in the Bible that we could look at. But over in Acts chapter 16, Paul had had a vision. He was told to go to Macedonia. A young girl was possessed of a demon. And he finally, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he cast the devil out of her. And the religious leaders did not like it. So they were, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. But the Bible says at the midnight hour, they were not crying. They were not whining. What does the Bible say in Acts 16:25? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And here it is again. They prayed. Yes, we need to pray. But what else did they do? Sang praises. They sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Their prayer plus their praise brought the power of God into a prison that caused those doors to be open, the bands off of their lives to be released. Hallelujah. And I love this. Not when we pray and we praise and we do our part, not only will freedom come to you, not only will God's power be released in your life, but it affects everybody around you. All the prisoners' bands were loose. And so when you offer your pious praise, God's power is released, hallelujah, in your life. It'll be released in the lives of your family. So stop talking about how bad things are going with your family. Stop magnifying maybe that they're not living for the Lord and all the bad things that they're doing and the attitudes that they have and this and that. Instead, you begin to praise God that they are free. Lord, I praise you that your power is working in the lives of my loved ones. Lord, as I magnify you above what they're doing or how they're acting, I thank you that there is a release that comes and those bondages of the enemy are broken off of their life. Praise releases the power of God. And then A, pray gives you access to the presence of God. Psalms 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. The message of that translation of that verse says, enter with the password. Thank you. Thank you. Make yourself at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. Enter in to his presence with thanksgiving. It gives us that access. We have the right to come boldly to the throne room of grace. And how do we approach the throne room of grace? We need to approach him with an attitude of reverence, an attitude of gratitude. Hallelujah. Thanking him in advance. Enter the password. We all know what it's like to have passwords on our devices. We probably all know what it's like to have forgotten a password and have to reset it. It's frustrating. You don't forget this password. Thank you. Gives you access to all of heaven's resources. Hallelujah. Now we want to look at a couple more here. Praise increases your capacity to receive from God. That's I. Increases your capacity to receive from God. Pastor referenced this story. He told this on Wednesday night about the 10 lepers. And Jesus miraculously healed them. They came to him and he touched them or he made the leprosy go. And one, it says, out of the 10 came back over, this is in Luke chapter 17, but one, it says, came back. And Jesus said to him, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Wholeness. Your faith has increased your capacity to receive. Your thankfulness and your praise unto me has increased your ability to receive even more. All 9 were healed, but the Bible only says of this one that returned to give what? Praise and thanksgiving was made whole. That means this one that praised the Lord had an increase in his life. And that increase was all of the evidence of leprosy was gone. Those others were cleansed, but if they had a finger that had been rotted away by leprosy or a limb or something, the Bible doesn't say that that limb or that finger came back. But this one that gave praise, it increased his capacity to receive more. And he was whole. I believe there was no evidence left that he ever had leprosy. His skin was smooth. His limbs maybe that were gone were restored. Hallelujah. How many of you can increase your capacity to receive more? Well, praise is the door that does that. As we praise him, the more shows up in our lives. Glory be to God. And then S. You know, I'm just highlighting these quickly. But S stands for sustains you in tough times. Praise will sustain you when nothing else does. Because we have our eyes on him. Hallelujah. There's a story about a man over in Habakkuk chapter 3. And this is a real good reminder what God wants us to do and how he wants us to act when we're faced with tough times. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and through 19 in the Amplified. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the oil shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. You could put your own in there. Although there is no food in the refrigerator. Although there's no olive oil in the cabinet. There's no hamburger in the freezer. I mean, whatever your situation may be. This is what this man of God said. All these things were going wrong in his life. The flocks weren't flocking. The crops weren't growing. It was not a good situation. But this is what he chose to do. Read verse 18 with me. Have it on the screen. Yet. Everybody say, yet. Say it again. Yet. Say it again. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the victorious God of my salvation. Yet I will rejoice. Rejoicing in the Lord sustains you in difficult times. He's not the one that brought it, but he's the one that brings us out. And he will bring us out in style. He is our victory. He is the one that makes us more than conquerors. Glory be to God. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Thanks be unto God. Who giveth us what? The victory. The victory. Hallelujah. So if you're in a difficult season, go ahead and lift your voice and just know, I'm going to be sustained. Hallelujah. Because I'm not looking at this or I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at victory. Glory be to God. He is my victor. Yet will I rejoice. Glory be to God. And then the last one, E. E establishes and encourages your heart. God is an awesome God. Meditate on his goodness, his greatness, and it will encourage you. Hallelujah. When you think about what he's done. And what he is doing. And how he's brought you through. It will encourage your heart. When I hear the word establish. It establishes. And it encourages our heart. I think of Psalms 112. We'll look at a few verses there. Praise the Lord. Verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. who delights greatly in His commandment. Is that you? Do you reverence the Lord? Do you delight greatly in His word? Then verse 6. Surely He will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until He sees His desire upon His enemies. Praisers are established, not moved by evil, bad reports. Not moved, not shaken. Surely He will never be shaken. No man, no woman, no political party can be the rock that we stand on. Jesus is our firm foundation. He is the rock that does not roll. We have to be established up on Him. And praising Him continually helps us keep our eyes off of people. No person should ever take the place due to God in our heart. There is no other Savior other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to. So don't fix your eyes upon people. Don't fix your eyes upon a political party. Don't fix your eyes upon the economy. Looking unto Me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Stay focused upon the Lord. And it will cause us to be established and cause us to stay encouraged. Not time to be discouraged. Not time to waver. Not time to get in doubt and in wondering. But stay established, fixed upon the Word of the living God. Read that whole chapter. Psalms 112 is encouraging. That's who we are, folks. We have an established heart. And notice it says your heart. It's got to be sumritaha. It has to be established on the inside, in the heart of man, who we are and who we are in Him and what His Word says. We can't live out of our emotional realm. Our emotions are fickle. And the only way that you're going to stay established is to build up your inner man. Let Him, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Pray much in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. That's what establishes us. That's what keeps us. That very next verse over there in Jude 1, there's only one chapter. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Verse 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. Then the very next verse says, keeping yourself in the love of God. The only way you can be established and settled in the love of God is by praying in the Holy Ghost, spending much time building up your inner man. There's opportunities all around us to get in strife and division. It's running rampant in our nation. We're not against any person. We need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Amen. That will establish us. Praise the Lord. Now I say tonight, as we are getting ready to close here, that we want to just close out this service, just spending some time praising the Lord. I want to remind you of a scripture as we're closing here. In Isaiah chapter 61:3, the importance, again, of praising. It's real easy to put on a garment of heaviness. If we go through some things, it's like that tries to tangibly get on us and make us weary and heavy us out. But the prophet Isaiah said here, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I believe there's people in here, maybe even watching online, you need a garment change. Tonight you just need to say, I'm taking off that spirit of heaviness. I'm taking off that spirit of fear. I'm taking off that spirit of depression or discouragement. And I'm going to put on a new garment before I leave tonight. I'm going to put on the garment of praise. Hallelujah. And I know it's going to push back the enemy. It's going to release the power of God. It's going to give me access in a greater degree. It's going to increase my capacity to receive from him. It's going to sustain me in difficult times. And it's going to give me everlasting, hallelujah, my heart everlasting and established in him. Now listen to this about this garment of praise out of the Spirit-filled Bible. And at PT, you guys can go ahead and make your way up. That'd be great. The glorious garment of praise. This is what it says. The Hebrew root word for garment, it's like a tall or something like that, shows praise as more than a piece of clothing casually thrown over your shoulders. It literally teaches us, now listen to me, not watch those guys, it literally teaches us to wrap or cover ourselves. This garment of praise is to leave no openings through which hostile elements can penetrate. This garment of praise repels and replaces the spirit of heaviness. Did you get that? It's just not a garment you just casually throw on. We literally wrap ourselves up in praise. And it's so tightly wrapped around us, there's no openings left for the enemy to penetrate and to get in and bring discouragement.